I want to come in. Welcome to the podcast. This is designer Dave Say.
I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And it's August 18th, 2014, a glorious Monday.
Yes, the weather is finally starting to reach fall. It's starting to recollect fall.
This is my favorite time of year.
Yes, it's my favorite time of the year. I get all like juiced up.
Because there's corn and there's tomatoes.
Corn, you're always talking about corn.
Corn is amazing. Last year I didn't have any corn.
Corn.
I think I'm already tomatoed out.
I'm going to start calling you Corn-say.
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 Sounds like a cool drink.
Corn-say.
Corn-say-co.
Say-corn.
Oh, no, that's a cheese.
You're thing, a say-corn.
A say-corn.
Oh, where's our sound effects when we need them?
Yeah, we don't use those. Oh, I should turn off that.
Yeah, it's awesome. The studio, it's like 76, 77 degrees in here right now.
Yeah.
And that's with like most of the windows closed. This weekend was fantastically beautiful outside.
I ended up working this weekend, so I didn't get outside very much. Making stickers.
I love making stickers.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, next time I'll ask you to make them.
Well, I mean,
So I was making stickers for the Future Tech Women, which is a group in the area for women in technology that I guess I'm an honorary member of. They have a booth at the...
You're not a woman.
I said honorary.
But you're still not a woman.
No. So anyway, I know a bunch of people in there, and they're doing a booth at the Dover Mini Makers Fair that's coming up this weekend.
Yep.
And I had made stickers for Bar Camp Manchester, which is like how I know some of these people from. And they wanted to reuse some of the things I'd done there, so I volunteered to help them with some design stuff. So this is what I spent a good chunk of this weekend doing, just drawing little things for that. I should post that someplace, because some of them came out pretty cool.
You should put them in. You used to do, when you were doing all the different logo revisions and stuff, you stick them in your Vincentium page or something?
Yeah. So I still have that, or it's migrated to the new website.
Yes.
Oh, did I mention I have a new website?
I don't think you did.
I have a new website, and it's taken months and months and months of working through all this arduous technical crap to get to the point when it's up there and pretty much the same stuff that was there before. But it unlocks a whole lot of different things I can do. But anyway, so I made a bunch of these icons for different careers that people can have in technology. So there's researcher, there's educator, there's tech writer, there's software engineer, or software developer, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
There's engineer. So I had to draw these little scenes. And I'm a very slow illustrator. So it takes me like an hour and a half to do each of these things. So anyway, that was interesting. But it was the corn season.
Corn.
And that made everything better.
Ugh.
I am trying to perfect the ultimate barbecue corn.
Yes, you are.
And I've tried it 4 or 5 times with different sauces of various making.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is, like, there's a street food in Taiwan, which I spent some time in when I was younger.
Yep.
That it's a kind of a barbecued corn, and it's a street food that they had there. And they had these guys with these shallow charcoal trays, I think.
Yep.
And they would have all this corn on what looked like chicken wire.
Yeah.
That would be roasting over the charcoal. And it was like they brushed it with some kind of... some sort of soy-based sauce, I think. It's kind of thick-looking.
Okay.
And you would char them on this thing. And I never had one, because I thought they were kind of gross-looking at the time. but lately, I've been thinking about it, because here in New Hampshire, at this time of the year, this is the fresh corn season. So you can go and you can have an ear of corn that's, you know, like hours off of the stalk, when it's still full of sugar, when it's still absolutely fresh, and like the corn silk hasn't yet, melted all over the place. But it's really, really, really good.
Huh.
And one big crime is you don't want to overcook that stuff.
Right.
I mean, like with regular corn you get from the supermarket during the off season, that's been shipped in from like Peru or someplace like that. And it's old and it's tough, and you know, it's not really that good.
Yes.
But the fresh corn, amazing.
Amazing.
So the challenge is to how to put a crust on fresh corn that doesn't overcook it.
Yep.
Because this cooks in about 90 seconds on high heat.
Yep.
So I've been learning a lot about the Maillard reaction and caramelization points of various sugars to discover what that is.
Awesome.
Yeah. What about you, man?
What did we do? Last week we had the crazy DVD find at the flea market where we bought like a whole bunch of DVDs.
Oh, right. We didn't have a podcast last week, so did we talk
about
it?
Oh, that's right. No, we didn't. We didn't. We went to Londonderry Flea, and
it was just one of those weeks where we came back with like 24 DVDs.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic now because the prices are so cheap, and I'm sure I've talked about it before, but it's like 50 cents to a dollar for each title. So it was like, you know, like you go in with a 20 and you come out with like 25 movies. It's cheaper than, you know, it's cheaper than anything. And we like to buy just lots of stuff that we're looking for, and then we just sort of hoard it for the winter. And then that way we just, because we don't go out on the weekends in the winter, usually we just stay in and we'll just watch movies and catch up on everything that we've bought and stuff. So that was last weekend. That was just like everything. And then this past Sunday, I made what was probably the score of the year as far as the flea market season for me. I picked up for photography heads, I picked up a Lumadyne portable flash and battery.
Like Lumadyne?
Yeah, yeah. They've been around for a while. They're sort of like, they're out of Florida.
Huh.
It's sort of like the Sun Pack that I use a lot, where it's like, it's larger than a speed light, which you would put on your camera. And it comes with this little battery pack that you plug in and charge and everything. But it was part of this kit. We got out of the car. And this is a funny thing because it's both times. We don't normally park on this particular side of the street where we did.
Uh-huh.
The previous time, like the second table that we stopped at after getting out of the car, we bought this really nice music stand,
mm-hmm.
Which is like, it's like a big, tall table, and then you can put things on the top, but then it has a drawer, like a door that you open up, and then you can put like sheet music and stuff and stuff. And so that was the first time, and like, so it was like we bought something and immediately had to go back to the car and put it away because it was so big.
Yeah.
And so this time we parked on the same side, and within like three tables, there was a guy with all kinds of stuff just sort of thrown all over the ground, and it seemed like it was probably somebody died and he just bought this big lot full of everything. And there was a silver, it was a camera case, but it looked like a suitcase, but it's like this silver reflective sort of thing. And it's usually things I see when people are lugging around like Hasselblads or something in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was shut. So I was like, oh, I'm going to just walk. You know, it looks like, I'm like, Sarah, hold on a second. I'm just going to walk over here. So I opened it up and there's this flash kit, a studio strobe kit or a portable studio strobe kit. And there's a strobe frame bracket that wedding photographers use so they can like put the flash above the camera and all this stuff. And there's all kinds of other little things. There's a bellows hood and everything. And I'm picking over it, and I'm like, man, if this flash worked, like, this would be fantastic to either just have at the studio as a like a hair light or something in case I need it.
Yeah.
Or if the battery works, like, it would be something I could just take on location with me in case I need a backup.
Nice.
So I just walked over to the guy, and he was just kind of sitting, he was reclining in this chair, and I was just like, how much for the camera, for the lighting stuff over there? And he kind of looked at me, and he was like, what camera lighting stuff? And I pointed over into the direction of the case. I'm like, that case over there. And he was like, there's camera lighting stuff in there? And I was like, yup. And he was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, would you take $20? And he kind of looked at me, and he was like, you know, would you give $25? He's like, how about $25? And then I was like, well, does it work? And he was like, how about $20? And I was like, you know what? For $20, like the case and then the strobo frame bracket, like the wedding bracket, like that's worth $20 right there.
That's worth $20.
You know, and if the other stuff doesn't work, like what, I could either look into having it fixed or whatever.
Yeah.
So I gave him $20. We ran back to the car. I stuck it in the trunk. I got home. I like charged the battery a little bit and turned it on, and the sucker just started working like clockwork. Yeah. Like boom, there it was. So I was just like, and I started looking up everything online, like on B&H and stuff like that. And it's like the battery pack is $265, flash head is like $150.
Nice.
And then all these little accessories that came with it. And it looked like, judging like from what it, the whole kit was, it looked like it was some wedding photographer's like portable lighting kit.
Oh. An older one, or
I don't know, like probably something in the late 90s or early 2000s.
Huh.
And you suggested looking up the serial numbers, which I should probably do and see like when it was made.
Yeah.
So I've got it sitting here right now. I'm just charging the battery out and everything, but I was just like, $20, like,
yep.
You know, and it's right around 200 to 400 watt seconds, so it's comparable to an Alien B.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like $20 for another studio light, like, fantastic. So
is that why you use the Sun Pack, is because it's more powerful than a normal speed light?
Yeah, it's got a little more oomph, although I think the newer speed lights now that are coming out, like the SB900 or something, like the SB800 was having battery issues, and I think the reason why it was having battery issues was because they were trying to pack so much into these little flashes that people were trying to shoot it at full power, and it was just like overheating the batteries melting, and stuff. Yeah, yeah, it's getting to the point now where it's like, okay, just stop it with the speed lights, and like, you know, if you're melting batteries, it's time to look into getting a studio light.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic, and it's small, and but I like the Sun Pack because it has just a large external battery. And if I'm doing location work, I know I can just get more juice out of everything rather than have to keep bringing double A's with me and switching them off. But $20, I was just like, this is the deal. Like, not very often I come across photo equipment. I think many, many years ago I came across a light meter for $10 that the guy was like, I don't even think it works.
Yeah.
And I was like, $10, you know, it's worth the gamble. And right. It's the same thing. I stuck a battery in it and it fired right up.
Nice.
But this was like crazy. It was a crazy deal. Like, I almost felt bad because I was just like, dude doesn't know what he has, you know. But it was a gamble because, like, there was no way I could test it out. So I'm like,
right. Yeah.
If it doesn't work, I'm out $20. But if it does work, like, oh, what a great deal. And just, it was fantastic. So I was very excited about that yesterday. I was running around all day. I was like, like, super deal. Like, that's
victory,
why
Caesar.
That's why we love flea marketing so much. It's just that you never know what you're going to stumble into. You know, you just keep at it, and boom.
Yep. It's an Indiana Jones treasure hunter.
It is, totally.
Aspect that is 80% of Sid Caesar's personality. Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford with the camera.
So that happened. Just the last couple of weeks have been kind of a little on the crazy side. I did want to say that Petzval lens that I've been running around with, that brass.
Oh, yeah, that old style.
By Lomography. Yes, the Lomography new Petzval lens. It is actually now available at retail.
It was great.
Previously all just Kickstarter stuff. They just announced the other day. I'm still trying to bang out a totally extensive review for it, other than it's really, really cool.
Right.
But it is available at retail. It's $599, which is crazy money.
Yeah, that's crazy.
If it was a little cheaper, I would say, you know, like, run out and buy it. But $600 is a lot. It's a heavy investment.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But you do get that cool look at it.
But it does have a pretty cool look.
Yeah.
So that's out there. I don't know. What else? I'll hand it back over to you.
Well, I was thinking about this week's Kenta Koga moment. I think last week's Kenta Koga moment. Now, the Kenta Koga moment, let's go back and explain it. Kenta Koga is a friend of ours, and I think we just like saying his name.
Kenta Koga.
So now he's part of the podcast. Kenta Koga. And the Kenta Koga moment is last week was sort of a word of wisdom from Kenta. What was it again? It was
Something about a car. It was, if your friend asks you to come over and change something on your car, you need to put aside 4 or 5 hours or, you know, 10 or 12 years.
Some Volvo or Saab.
Something like that.
It sounds very wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're looking at his Twitter feed to see if there's anything that's comparable to that. But it's going to be more of an aspirational quote this week. Not so much a word of wisdom, but just something that you can feel good about.
Yes.
And where is it?
What is it, Dave? What is it? What is it?
Something about the American Gerbil Society here.
What?
What was it? It was something about he had lost. I should print these out. June 5th. Clerk at the auto parts store saw I was wearing a Fitbit and asked how it was going. I lost 20 pounds in 6 months.
Woo-hoo.
She gave me a high five.
Yes. Congratulations.
Well done, Kenta. Well done, Kenta. Yeah.
20 pounds.
We have Fitbits, too.
Although, I just put mine on. I left mine here for the last 3 days at the studio while it was charging.
Really?
And I just remembered to put it on.
I had washed mine by accident a few weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
And I thought it was dead. But I went to the Fitbit website, and they suggested putting it in a container of rice.
And the rice thing.
And it had gone through the washer and the dryer. So I left it in there for about 48 hours, and it charged right up, and it's working. And then Elise said, what she does, is because before I was clipping it to my shirt, but I had forgotten to unclip it when I threw everything into the
washer.
She carries it in her pocket, she said.
Huh.
So, and I think, okay, I could do that because usually the stuff in my pocket, I take all that stuff out before I wash them. I check my pockets.
Yeah.
And if it works at the bottom of the pocket, then it's fine. So it's in the same pocket that I keep my wallet in.
Oh.
And so far, so good. So now I'm not forgetting to put it on in the morning because it's in my pocket.
It's already in your pocket.
It's already going to go in there with the wallet and everything else.
Oh.
So thanks, Elise, for that tip. It's working out well.
Tip from Elise.
Yep. Oh, this month I had to renew my gym membership, too. They have that $99 a year thing that goes on in August.
Yeah.
So, so that's like under 10 bucks a month, you know. And so I've been going to the gym, but it's nice to go when I feel like going. It's been so busy this summer.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I guess it's good to be busy, but it's starting to wear on me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's fall now, so you have extra energy because it's going to be really nice out.
It's been hard to work when it's like this.
Go outside and walk and just enjoy the crunchy leaves.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to schedule some time like that in. This is like week, what, 6 or 7 of the themed work weeks I've been doing?
Yeah, how's that going?
They've been working really well. I've been actually more productive than I really want to be. Because with the one singular project focus during the week.
Yep.
The cool thing is that I can go and do other projects, and then I have to do, like, if I can do the podcast, and I can go back to where I was instead of remembering, okay, which are the 3 projects for today am I going to do?
Yep.
It's just one.
Yep.
For the entire week. And boom. It allows me to get the momentum going on Monday.
Yep.
And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like, I'm in the zone. Whereas before, I was trying to get back into the zone 3 times a day. And it just hadn't been working. You know, I thought I should be able to do it, but it turns out that I can't.
Zone.
But this is the week, first week that it's starting to feel like a routine, and therefore I'm losing interest in it because I don't like routines. So I'm wondering if there's some sort of break I need to take from this.
Huh.
But on the other hand, this week is full of all these other commitments that I've made.
Yeah.
And other projects. So it's kind of feeling like I'm a little bit, not demoralized, but not entirely energetic about it.
Huh.
So we'll see. I need to interject some kind of fun thing, you know, in there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll need to get some time to myself.
Yeah.
Do something for me.
Yeah.
Me.
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 Yep.
Me. What else? Sunday morning, I got up bright and early. For the last 10 years, probably more than 10 years, the domain name SidCaesar.com has been snatched up by some, whatever you call them, like places that buy them just so they can sit on them.
Domain squatters.
And every, you know, like every 6 months I get an email saying, hey, SidCaesar.com is available for $4,000. Like, you know, like give us your credit card number and blah, 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 blah. And so I kept saying, you know, maybe someday I'll just wait and I'll complain about it and wait. Maybe someday it'll come up. I got up 6 o'clock Sunday morning. I was just browsing the internet and everything, and I hadn't checked in a really long time. And I was like, I think I'll just enter in SidCaesar.com and just see what comes up. Mm-hmm. And the company let it lapse, and it was up for sale. And so at 6:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, I was whipping out my credit card, and
awesome.
I finally registered it. So I finally have myname.com, SidCaesar.com. I'm so happy. And so I think what I'm probably right now, it'll just be a redirect. And then eventually, like I've been using CaesarPhotography.com.
Yep.
I think eventually I'll just try to switch over. Right. Like probably the next batch of merchandising or promotional stuff that I come up with, I'll just replace the Caesar Photography with SidCaesar.com.
Yep.
And then I can use Caesar Photography and SidCaesar Photography as redirects. But at least that way, no matter what you put in, it'll take you to the website.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. I was very excited about that. I finally have my name.
That's great.
As my URL.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
You'll want to do that before you put any major new content on your website.
Okay.
Because the domains themselves, they have a kind of history to each of them.
Okay.
So the longer you have the domain, the more likely it's to show up in search engine results.
All right.
So that's something to consider when you do the transition.
So like, maybe I should wait a while and let it burn in.
Either you maybe make a separate site for it because with different content if you want that to because like if you switch the domain, I think I'm not quite sure about this.
Yep.
All the juice that's associated with that will then go to. Yeah, it's not as
right.
There's something like the Google Sandbox, which I think still exists, in which when you have a new domain registered and content appears on it, it keeps it in the sandbox for 6 months as an anti, you know, spamming kind of thing.
Oh.
Because if something's popular and people make a new website and they say, like, and you know, let's say Jennifer Lawrence becomes has become really popular and all these Jennifer Lawrence sites pop up.
Okay.
Those are likely to be junk sites.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know what the algorithm changes every so often, so you had to keep up on the search engine optimization world, which I don't. But there was an issue about that. Yeah, actually, I guess I just don't really care about it. I just post whatever, and you know, good quality content will attract.
Okay, so maybe should I just use it as a redirect for a while?
You might as well, or
at least make it active, and then
I mean, depending on which one you want to be canonical in the long run, the one that you want people to go to.
Yep.
You could do it the other way around. You could just like move the website to SidCaesar.com and then just redirect everything to it. I'm not sure exactly how that will work, though. We could talk about it at our next business summit.
Yeah. At least now I can sit on it. And
yeah, you've got it. So
figure out what to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah, you might just put something light up there. You know, maybe just It says a little bit about you, and it maybe that's your redirect page for now.
Okay.
So it says something about you do photography in the area, and maybe it has like one or two long pieces of content about what you do.
Yep.
You know, so that's at least there.
Yep.
And so if you were trying to angle for more work in photography of a certain type, you know, then when people type in search engine stuff, then it'll pop up on that page and stuff like that. And you can link that to your photography site and to your other sites if you wanted to as well. And then eventually move all the content over.
Okay.
But
good idea. Good. Yeah. Good, good.
But, you know, having said all that, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
I wouldn't worry.
It sounds like a pain in the butt.
Nice.
We're not professional search engine optimization marketers.
No, not at all.
What we do, our work stands for themselves, and people will find it.
Yes.
You know, the search engine optimization is the secondary concern. You make the stuff first.
Yes.
Roar!
So, speaking of making stuff, so this very cool thing just happened. In the photography industry, the photographer Zach Arias is pretty well known.
Zach Arias.
He actually was a band photographer. He's sort of moved over to more commercial stuff. He's done stuff for Land Rover and Fuji and stuff. So he's getting bigger and bigger. He's really big. He's known a lot for workshops that he does. And he teaches just about at every thing ever. Like, it teaches with Dubai and so, like, since social media has become very big and what I call sort of like photography 2.0, which started right around the time digital cameras got really, really popular.
Yeah.
There's been a certain group of photographers that have just become the new norm or standard. There's Zach Arias, there's Chase Jarvis, who does the Creative Live stuff. There's Joe McNally, who's worked for National Geographic for like forever. You know, Jeremy Cowart, who does a lot of stuff with celebrity photography. There's just this certain group of people, like, they're the current, like, everything comes from their worlds. Like, everything that's important is the stuff that they're talking about. Everybody sort of hovers around them. And so Zach, he's got this new website, Dead Pixel, which he's sort of moving his content over to. He wants to create more signal and less noise in the industry. He wants, you know.
Yep.
And so he put up a video 2 weeks ago, and it was kind of funny, and it was just basically his way of saying, you know, full frame sensors on cameras versus the slightly smaller sensors. Like, just shut up. Like, stop arguing about it. And he had old film cameras in this video he did. So he had like APS sensor, which is the slightly smaller version of a full frame digital sensor. And then he had the full frame digital sensor. And then he had film equivalents. And so he had, medium format film, and he had 6.45, and he had 6.7, and then he had a 4x5 film. And he was basically saying, you know, like, look, like, people that are arguing about full frame and APS sensors, like, it's a negligible difference. And like, let's compare that next to a sheet of 8x10 film where that's your sensor, you know, like, he's just like, shut up. So he posted this whole thing and people were kind of whatever. And I was at my folks and my laundry was drying. And I was just like, I don't know, just something, and I just felt like replying, you know? Yep. And so I made this thing, and I was like, every time somebody, like, argues about this stuff, I'm like, the first thing that I like to do is just go to my flat file, and I pull out my wedding tintypes, which are 20 by 24 inches.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, and I just kind of went off on this thing about, you know, like, I love my wife, basically, and, like, I just respect the alchemy and craft of photography, and just, like, you know, like, everybody's sitting around, like, just kvetching about the smallest thing that these cameras do or don't do. And you had these guys in the 1800s that were in like covered wagons with giant sheets of glass and like deadly chemicals that like had wagons with no shock on them. And like they were running over, you know, like just, and these dudes were just crazy. Like they were just wizards. Like they were just these crazy wizards that loved to make images on. And so I just did this big thing and I was like, whatever, I got it out of my system and everything.
Yeah.
And so Zach read it and like he left this comment right underneath the blog post and he was like, holy shit. Like he was like, that is the most inspirational thing. He's like, I've read about photography in a really long time. He was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, I wrote it and he read it and he actually responded to me, you know, like a little kind of fanboy moment, like, oh, he said something. And then I didn't think anything about it. And then like a day later I get an email from him and he was just like, hey, you know, like, he was just like, I thought that was really, really awesome. He was just like, you know, like he literally had me like standing up from my desk with my fists in the air, like, yes. So he was like, do you mind if I take what you wrote and turn it into a blog post? And I was like, abso-freaking-lutely, like, please do. Like, this is really awesome. Like, you know, like suddenly this guy that, you know, like, it's just awesome. So a couple of days later, he put up this blog post, and he it started with, like I was talking about this thing in my video, and then Photographer Said Caesar, and there was like a link to the website, and he was like, Photographer Said Caesar, the thing, and he put the quote down, and then he just sort of responded how that inspired him, and he was talking about these old photographers where it was about the images, and it didn't matter about the camera. It was just about the work, like what they were generating with the work. So I thought that was really kind of cool. And the web, I got some web traffic, and I got some new Twitter and some new Instagram followers and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, you're finding the people who really resonate with what you stand for, and I think that's really important when you're trying to do good work. Because it's easy to get caught up in, I guess this is this whole signal versus noise thing.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the noise of other people who aren't doing anything or are cutting other people down or just sitting and just judging other people instead of actually doing something, trying to do something cool.
Yeah.
And, doing it for dumb reasons, doing it for reasons like, I'm in Club Nikon or I'm Club Canon. What's the point? Take a freaking picture. Write some code. Draw something.
Make something. Shut up.
It's easy also then to get caught up in the anti-ness of it all, like I'm not one of those people, I'm above it all, but if you're still not doing the work, I mean that's an issue,
right?
And I think a better way of doing it is you find other people who are drawn to the same positive qualities, the reason why you got it into it in the first place. For me, it's like seeing a glowing dot moving 60 frames a second on a CRT. There's something about that moment that I really love in computer graphics. And I sometimes forget that. And every once in a while, I'll come back and says, you know what? That moving glowing dot, that's alive to me. It's magical. And it's like, I want to see it. So I go into an old arcade and I think of the people who made these things, the people who interacted with them. And there's that kind of, I don't know what it is. Sometimes it's inexplicable. There's no good reason for it.
Yes.
But nevertheless, it's at the core of who I am.
Yes.
In terms of my inspiration and in directing me what I want to do. Which is kind of what I'm excited by when I see it just crop up by accident in places. Like there's that electronic band Nowhere, which I'm not even sure if I should like it or not, but it presses every one of my pleasure points out there. It's got 80s like graphics in it from like the Beyond the Mind's Eye point, and it's got break beats in it. It's like everything I like. It's got weird people wearing costumes. I don't know.
Nuts.
Find those people. Gotta find those people. Yes. And your cost of membership to that is to keep producing.
Yes, and don't be afraid to just be honest about whatever you have to say. I mean, I think that was the most, like, I just wrote from the heart. And that was what inspired other people.
That was a really nice piece of writing, too, I had to say.
You read that?
I did go back and read it after you mentioned it. But I guess that's the podcast. We got about 90 seconds.
Cool.
Any announcements?
I don't have anything. You have what? Art Walk is coming up October 17th through 19th.
The weekend, October 17th through 19th, 19 is Nashua's Art Walk.
Yes, and the Mini Makers Fair in Dover.
That's this coming weekend.
And
wherever Dover is. I'm not sure where I'm going to go. I'd like to. I've never been to a Makers Fair.
No.
But I just might need the time just to hole up by myself someplace.
Yeah.
Just work on my own stuff. Piano Karaoke was canceled this this month. So I think it's going to be next month.
Okay.
So that's always the first week of the month if things
first Wednesday.
Go to plan. First Wednesday
of the month.
I think at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Yeah, I'll post it up someplace in the show notes.
Cool.
And I think that's it.
Awesome.
There's a Makers in Manchester meeting this Thursday.
Yeah.
And they're meeting at the Café de la Reine.
Oh.
And so I'm thinking of trying to meet that one because it's been a few months since I've been to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got. We didn't even get to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's right. We did go see that. We went and saw that slightly after our last podcast.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that next week.
And, I guess so.
Awesome.
All right.
All right, well, until next week, I am Photographer Sid Caesar.
And I'm Designer Dave Say.
And we will see you all later. Music graciously provided by Michael Bellar and the Azzez Ensemble. Visit him at michaelbellar.com.
Yeah.
There we go.
We almost timed that perfectly.
Michael Bellar.
Yeah.
We'll see y'all later.
Bye.
Yes!
Yes!